And God said, behold, I have given every herb every seed, which is from the face of the earth. It's powerful when we look at this, when we look at this light, before we get ready to get into this light. We're just preparing them. We're really just preparing everything before we even get into here. And it's powerful. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light. It's the same place, like when he says, be ye holy, for I'm also holy. Mm-hmm. Okay? We start, when you say, be ye holy, for I am also holy, we try to be holy.
Yeah, that is right.
You understand what I'm saying? We try to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And you can't accomplish that.
You have to be holy.
Oh, there's a lot of Pentecostal people be mad to hear that on.
Yes, Lord.
Well, nobody from the Pentecostal around on here.
You'll be stoned.
You cannot be holy. The thing about it is, you cannot do it. That's something that God does. Mm-hmm. Okay? I can go a little deeper with that.
That's powerful.
Because that has to do with, you know, holiness has to do with purpose. Nature. You understand what I'm saying here? It's because it's holiness and sanctification go hand in hand because it's being set aside for a certain purpose. Mm-hmm. So you could be praying every day. What do you mean by that, Colin? You could be praying every day, fasting every week, and don't do nothing wrong and call yourself holy and be unholy.
Mm-hmm. That is
because you are not, if you are not setting yourself aside for a particular purpose in which God calls you for. Mm-hmm. So you could be unholy for the moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you are not doing what God called you to do within that moment. Mm-hmm. Now you say, Carlos, go a little deeper with that. If God wants you to sit around a table with somebody and just have a good conversation and laugh, and you decided you're going to have in that moment, you're going to have your little Bible throwing contest at that moment, then you are unholy. Because you are not doing what God asked you to do in that particular moment. You're doing what you think God wants you to do, which is you leaning upon your own understanding. And the Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is destruction. That's not talking about just a drug dealer out in the street selling drugs. That's talking about you in a particular moment leaning to your own understanding of what you think is righteous. And it's really leading to destruction, a deconstruction, a tearing away at the structure, a taking apart of the structure. Deconstruction. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's because it becomes destruction because it has no instructions. You don't know what you were doing.
You thought you were doing God's
by having the wrong information.
Jesus.
You have deconstructed what God has asked you to do.
You might felt like you wanted to tell us
on tape. So. Yeah. That's all I'm saying now.
But that is like when we get some water. We're so excited to tell somebody.
That's right.
Ooh. But you have to be led by the Spirit.
I'll give you an example. You sit at a lunchroom table, and two people sitting there talking about a ball game. And God maybe just wants you to sit there and enjoy talking about a ball game. But you're going to have your holy moment. You're going to have your crescendo godly moment in which you portray or display all of your knowledge in God.
Okay.
So instead of being humble and realizing that you are nobody, come on here, except what God has made you, come on here. And that all of us share in his divinity, even though people who you think are not divine, come on here. The thing about it is, instead of having a good time and enjoying that moment, you begin to get your holy moment on.
Yeah.
So in that moment that you think is holy, it becomes unholy. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is, you are not setting yourself apart for the purpose in which he called you for in that moment.
So, Carlos, does that go back to what you're saying? You talking, laughing, and joking about the ball game, could that be part of the preparation?
That's part of the preparation.
So that you could speak life.
That's the spirit moving in it. But that's right. That's
turning that chair.
And I've seen many.
That's right. Yeah.
That's powerful.
We got to stop looking for stuff that we think is godly. Come on here. And start looking for God in every moment. That stuff, looking in this religious glasses and through these religious contents and the traditional contents, and this is the only way that God can use me. If we leave God in a box, come on here. See, this is the thing that's going to really scare you. This is the power about God. He is love. Therefore, God is not on himself. He is everything.
Everything.
He isn't in everything. The heavens of heavens cannot contain it. So just you being there talking and laughing and having a good time becomes God in that moment. more so than you trying to be religious and thinking you're bringing God in that moment. Uh-huh. You have not realized who you are in that moment. And who God is in you in that moment.
Jesus, that's good.
That's powerful.
You understand what I'm saying?
Because there have been so many people, like, be at a table, and they be, the people at the table, I've seen it in action, like, they be laughing and talking about something, and the person that thinks they are so holy, they even get up and walk out. Say, well, I can't engage in that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and then if you stay there, they say, well, how in the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the way people's mentality is.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you don't know who you are, you constantly think that you're conforming, or that you're conforming. That's the word we use all the time, that we're conforming to the world, or coming down to their level of thinking. Wow. See, the thing about it is, he said, come out of them. We use that all the time. Come out from among them and be ye separated. But it's not separated in body or physically. It's separated in mind. Come out from among them and separate it in how you think.
Yeah.
If that was the case, then Jesus would have never been friends of sinners and publicans.
Wow. Jesus.
See, the religious order couldn't understand how could he be holy? How could he be a son of God? How could he even be God and have friends that are sinners?
Yeah.
That's powerful.
How many people did you have friends that are sinners? See, if light is just among light, then who is it ministering to?
I like that.
If you just go to a Christian barbershop and never go to the ungodly barbershop, how would the ungodly ever have light?
That's probably.
If we're gonna say they're in darkness, how would they ever receive light? If the light is always being pulled out of darkness, how would it shine in darkness?
He said, I made
you sheep among what?
Wolves.
And the devil there is not to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. It's just you have the nature that is different. Because the mindset is different. But if the sheep is never among wolves, then how will you fulfill the verse? If all you want to be is around other sheep.
You scoop over here.
See, the sheep shall have a brother folks.
That's powerful.
That's right. See, that's powerful. That's what tells us, but the Bible says that the day will come where the lion shall lay down with the lamb. I wish we had time to touch on that, but we'll leave that alone. The lion laying down with the lamb. You know, that's powerful. That's powerful. He said, and there should not be any hurt in all my holy mouth. See, the revelation is powerful. When you have the mindset of Christ, when you have a real mindset of Christ and mature in Christ, you can be in an environment and not be changed by that environment.
Right.
You can bring a new environment because you're there.
That's it.
See, the kingdom is there because you are there.
That's it.
They don't have to wait and die and see the kingdom of God. They can see it through you.
Through you. That's it. That's
you know what I'm saying? That reminds me of Daniel being in the lion's den. Come on here. And see, the thing about it is the power of the verse. The way we know he has substance is that he could sleep all night with lions and not be touched. And not be devoured. See, this is the power. He was never devoured by his environment. If we stayed down there with the lions, we would have been devoured by our environment. He could be closed up in a lion's den. Think about you. Can we transcend? Can we go
on another level?
You understand what I'm saying here? What situations have surrounded you that ate at you?
You bit back.
And you fighting all night. And run them off. What thoughts in your mind?
Jesus.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
See, in the moment, that's powerful because when the king goes and check on him, he comes back because the king was up all night. Mm-hmm. That thing ate him up.
Yeah.
That ate him up that he put that godly man down there. But Daniel said, it's okay, O king, I'm still here. See, God wanted to make sure that you can last the moment. He wants you to see that you can last the night.
God, that's powerful.
Can you sleep with every lying thought against you, every adversary against you? And I'm going to tell you the power of that moment, because a lot of times we don't think about it, but in that Middle Eastern time, during that time in the Persian Empire, those different times, they would starve the lions.
Good God.
You see what I'm saying?
Good.
They would starve the lions so that when they put you in there, they will eat you.
They would be hungry.
Because they were so hungry.
Yeah.
And see, there's some things that are sitting out there in the everyday world that is hungry to get you. Uh-huh. The darkness is hungry to eat you up.
I know that.
Your situations are hungry to eat you up.
That's wild.
Ooh. But can you last the night?
Can you lay down with the lion?
That's powerful.
Go to sleep while the Lord. That's powerful. Give me
that. When the day breaks.
No doubt.
When the light begins to shine. When the light begins to shine at daybreak, will you still be there? Mm-hmm. Can you say like he did, oh king, it's okay. God has sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lion. Mm-hmm. Can we go deeper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when we go to that word angel, in the Greek it is angelos. It is messenger. Mm-hmm. And if we take a messenger is no more than his message. Mm-hmm. So when we look at it in his deeper portions, if we really reach past the letter, and reaching to the life of what God was saying is what he was saying is that there was a message, a word that kept me.
Oh my God.
See, there is a word that will shut the mouths of the lions of your thoughts.
Jesus.
Oh.
Oh, have mercy.
And keep them shut.
Oh.
Jesus. No matter how much they want to eat at you. And it'll keep you through the night. That's what God is saying.
And that's what a rap said.
That's powerful. Mm.
That's what he's saying. Mm. Mm. Woo!
Good God, man.
That's why it's because how powerful it is, man. It's so good to know that you have a substance of God in you.
Woo!
You know, I look at it so far than that, the ingredients of who got the love, the peace, the joy that God has, the ingredients that is seasoned on us. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful,
like that.
Man. You feel what I'm saying?
That's powerful, brother. Man. And to kind of go on what you were saying, Carlos, like you said, there's a message, there's a word that will shut the mouth, you know, of all lions, of all situations that may be trying to devour you. The thing is, the Bible talks about that. It says that perfect love casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the fear that was trying to eat at you, and the fear can also represent other things in your life
that's
trying to eat at you. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Perfect love can cast that
it
out.
That's right.
It will close the mouth of the fear.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's just.
It's a greater seed that is in you than he that is in the world.
That's right. Talk about it. Somebody else jump in there.
That's fine.
Because I know nothing like you, just like everybody else. We have had times that things
everything is in us.
Try to eat it.
That's it.
And you know, if you really look at it, like you said, you know, the best way to interpret scripture is which scripture? When you look in it and look at how Jesus was tested when he went up to the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, every time the enemy tried to eat at him, the thing was, in order to shut his mouth, he used the word.
It is written.
So therefore, that closes the mouth, and they have to move on to something else.
That's right.
Speak so that word.
That word.
Call on him.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So we become that word.
We become that word.
Mm. We are that living word. Mm. That living epistle.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
That's right. Give it.
Oh, God.
Let's look at that. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Let's look at that. We got to walk through this.
We're going on through scripture. That's
we
nice.
Gotta
that's
we got to walk through this. We're
going on through scripture. That's powerful, man.
You know, what really gets me is who become my lion.
That's right.
That when they want to eat you up, they can't eat you because that's not. You're not that food. See, this is the powerful thing about it is that the Bible says that the serpent would his food would be the dust of the earth. Mm. Upon the dust of the earth, he said, that's the powerful thing right there. If the serpent's food is the dust, then what he feeds off of is man's carnality. Mm. The enemy feeds in the spirit off of your thoughts.
Okay.
Your negative thoughts is what feeds him.
That's it. Mm.
You understand what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the powerful thing is the lions were hungry but couldn't eat them because Daniel had a different mindset that was not their diet.
Jesus. Woo! Dog!
Ooh, that is good, son.
That's powerful.
Ooh,
that's
powerful.
That's powerful.
His mindset.
It wasn't his diet.
That's powerful.
And you're over there at time when somebody said you were hungry, my mom was all the time.
Said, you should fix something, and
you can't eat it because that ain't what you used to eat. And you won't eat because that ain't your diet. But she'll say, well, you ain't hungry then.
Yep.
And the lions are hungry, but they couldn't eat.
That's powerful.
Because they couldn't eat him because his mindset was a different diet. The Bible says the enemy walks around like a lion. He's like a lion, lion, right? Mm. Like a war lion. Seeking whom he may devour.
So
he was hungry for negative thinking. Those lions were hungry for negative thinking, but they couldn't eat him because he was too positive.
Wow.
That's powerful.
And knew his God would deliver him.
And by Daniel having the whole mind, another change of mind, man.
Oh, that is good.
Bam.
By him having that whole thing of changing of mind and how people today in daily life to the point they worry about the fear and worry about what's going to happen. It's like when you don't have the change of mind, you start to feed that. You
come
feel
on,
what I'm saying?
That's right.
You there like with a piece of meat in your hand and say, come on, bite a chunk out of me. Right. You know, so I look at that, man, by having that change of mind, you know, there wasn't a lion dot. You know, it shut him right on up. You know, and that was
enemy
powerful,
can't touch
man.
Him.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Right.
Like MC.
And when it throws him over, then they
can't
touch him.
That's powerful.
Can't touch him. Mm. Couldn't touch him.
That's powerful.
Couldn't touch him.
Man, and when you look at that from a different perspective is, you know, when you allow the enemy to eat at you, what happens is you allow him to get stronger in your life.
Go ahead. That's a good.
So therefore, you give him place in your life.
That's right.
Therefore, what's going to happen is he's going to attack you more vigilantly than he was first.
That's right. He said give no place to the devil.
Because now you have become a prey.
That's right. He know what to do.
Oh, daily prey. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. I like what you said.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
Daniel chapter 6. Let's look at it.
Give no place to the devil.
They said
if you let him ride,
he'll
Daniel chapter 6.
I almost start off at verse 8 so we just to sacrifice the time. Now, O king, establish a decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altered not. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled unto his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. These men assembled, found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Now, let's go ahead and suffice for time. We'll get on down here. Let's go down let's just go ahead and read it. Verse 12. Then they came near, spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man in 30 days, speaking of the number of maturity, 30, the number of maturity, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into what? A den of lions. Not just one lion, a den of lions. We got a den of adversaries. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is one of the children of the captivities of Judah, the captivity of praise, Judah means praise, the captivity of praise, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but make this petition 3 times a day. We all know what that number 3 is, right? Mm-hmm. The number of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Come on here.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have another man praying. We have another man inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Come on here. But that doesn't stop God from breaking up the ground.
Okay.
Come on here.
Mm-hmm.
Only the preparation got you into the place of preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So God has prepared you for this place.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? The consistency of you being in where you're supposed to be is not for you. It's not about you. When we really look at this, we'll find out it's really about the king. God is trying to reach the king, but he's got to put you in captivity in order to reach that person.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to put you in the place of being compromised in order to reach somebody else. Are you understand what I'm saying? So he's got to put you in the place of danger to give light to somebody else. Got to put you in the place of death to get you to give light to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see this as? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's got to be crucified in order to give life into the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to put you, if you are the Prince of Life, he's got to put you in the place of death. Don't worry about you dying because you'll live again. Think about it as somebody else who knows nothing about life has got to see you in death live.
Mm.
So he's got to put you in the place of a den of lions. He's got to put you in the place of tribulation. Are you understand what I'm saying? So somebody else can get the revelation. Look, the men were, these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be what? Changed. Put the king, put this thing in a fixed place. Mm-hmm. Don't you look at that? Have you seen God? Mm-hmm. Put it in a fixed place. Mm-hmm. So the king couldn't go back on his word, so Daniel must go to the lion's den.
You gotta go.
Who wants a miracle? Nobody wants the situation before you get there, right? Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into what?
The
den of lions. Mm-hmm. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, come on here.
The God.
Thou continually. I told you he was in the place of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
He will what?
Deliver you.
That's power. The king believed it, right? Mm-hmm. They believed in his God, that's power. He believed in Daniel's God. Didn't call it my God, your God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He really believed it too.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I've seen in your life. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den of lions, right? On mm-hmm. upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed
and
it with
Jesus
his own
is
signet.
That stone.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he sealed him in and the signet of his lords. That the purpose might not be what changed according to Daniel.
Hmm.
Then king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king arose early in the morning. So think about it is he fasted the whole night, right? And the king rose up early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And he came unto to the den. He cried with a lamentable voice, crying, weeping, looking at him unto Daniel. And the king spake unto and said to Daniel, O Daniel, the servant of the what?
Living God.
Is thy God. Whom thou servest continually, be able to deliver the dying. And then said Daniel to the king, O king, what? Live forever. My God sent his angel.
And shut
the mouths. What's so powerful about the shut the mouth? Because the mouth is the voice of everything speaking against you.
Mm.
Shut Woo. The mouth, you cannot eat. It can't take in and it can't speak out.
No,
listen at me. Woo! Come on here. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones. Come on here. My words would never what? Hurt me. What Daniel says here, he says what? They have not hurt me. I'm at verse 22. My God has sent an angel. They have shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me. The words of my situation speaking against me, the lions are the things that are trying to eat at me, have not ate me. They can't speak against me. They can't speak out. Neither can they take in. Therefore, they have not hurt me. God has sent his angel to do that. Didn't take many angels. All it took was one angel. All it takes is one word.
That's it.
Mm. Don't take many things said. Come on here. Right? While you're saying a lot, heaven's saying a little bit. When the angels in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, when they begin to speak, what moved the posts of the temple in the heavens was one word repeated three times. They looked at it and said, holy, holy, holy. Come on here. God. Come on here. Let's leave that alone. Ooh, they said, holy, 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 Lord God, what?
Almighty.
Come on here. Sometimes it only take a word, right? For as much as before him, his innocence was found in me, and also before him, O king, have I done no what? Hurt. Right. I did no hurt. Mm-hmm. It did no hurt. That's powerful. I slept all night. I'm fine. God shut the mouth. This is powerful.
Yes. Oh my God. Go ahead.
It was for the king. The king needed to see something.
Yeah.
So the king was put in a difficult position by evil men.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not only about people, it's about situations, it's about thoughts. Mm. And when you let it go, those same things that brought those thoughts will get devoured by those thoughts.
Mm.
The things that bring that evil will get devoured by that evil. Huh? Mm. What do you mean by that, Carlos? Let's look on. Mm. Verse 21. Then said, verse 23. Am I at 23?
Yeah,
23.
Well, I'm at 24. 23. Okay, 23. Then was the king exceedingly what?
Glad
for him. There's the joy. And commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion's den. Mm. So sometime before you are sin, come on here.
You got a
descend. What it said about Christ in Ephesians chapter 4. He that us in it also
had it.
Mm. Come on here. Sometimes you got to go lower before you go up. Before Christ could return, before God could return the manifestation of Christ back to the heavens, he first had to go to the lower parts of
the earth. Mm-hmm.
He had to go to Sheol 3 days, 3 nights, right? Because you got to descend. Every son of God first descends before he ascends. Mm-hmm. You got to go down in the valley before he goes into the mountaintop. Are y'all with me or are you asleep? Are you with me? Come on here. So when you see them that they brought him up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. Come on here, said it twice. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he what? He believed in his what?
God.
Are you believing what God is saying? Are you believing what he's doing? Are you believing in what he's speaking? When the lights are out and the stone is sealed up and you're in there with your lions for your night. And your night may not be just a night. It may be a couple years. And this is the power of it. It's sealed. Can you hear it in the spirit? It's sealed with the king's seal. Meaning, can you hear this, Junior? Meaning that it's got God's approval.
Come on. That's powerful.
So why are you sealed? In what are you doing?
He got you. God's got you in a place.
Jesus.
That you can't get out of. And you think the devil got you there, and it's really God's got you sealed up.
Jesus.
And he said, there's a law that cannot be changed. See, I'm not going to change. You're going to change.
Jesus.
That's what I mean by the law ain't
going to
change.
That's powerful.
When you come out, you're going to change. Situation's going to change. But what the thing about it is, what's going to happen is you're going to change. God don't want to change your situation. He want to change you. You praying about your situations. God wants you to pray about you. He wants you to be able to see him in the situation.
Yeah.
Are you understand what I'm saying? Can you digest that? Can you be locked up? Can you be locked away?
That's come on, powerful. That's powerful.
It's dark, but I'm the one that got you there. While this form of void, darkness is upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The angel was locked in with him. See, that's what I want to tell you.
Amen.
See, the angel is God. God is in there with you. He locked both you and him in the same place. Because God is his word. So he locked you in there with his word. Locked you in a lion's den. And said, don't worry, we can go to sleep. To this name. Maybe you don't mind. Maybe that's a good thing.
I mean, it really helps.
Will you bring this thing to
life? Lord, this
bring
is it. Good.
Huh? I'm going to lock you in that room with me.
Jesus.
I'm going to seal you up with me. And when we get through, this king that's up there, this man that's up there, that needs to see God through you, that needs to see me through you. It ain't about you. It's about him seeing me. It's about everybody in the kingdom of Persia seeing me. It's about everybody knowing who you pray to 3 times a day. See, that's ain't that difficult. You pray 3 times a day only to be put in a bad position.
And then put a seal on.
Come on, here. That's about it. You prayed for this. You said, God, I want you to be manifest in my life. But you thought it was about you, but it wasn't about you. It's about everybody that's around you. So I want to put you in a bad predicament so that everybody can be able to see God through you. I want to turn the lines against you.
And that's so powerful, man. And I feel like, man, that is the true purpose of prayer is not to change a circumstance, but truly... You know, it's for God to give you that strength to endure that circumstance so that he can strengthen you and change you and mold you into the image that he wants you to be. That takes me back when Jesus was in the garden and, the portion where he said, it's not by my will, but by your will. Then when it came down and the angels, ministered to him and he began to pray. The thing is, the angels didn't minister to him to change the circumstance. What they ministered to him for was to strengthen him. To give him the ability to endure.
That's right.
Because the true purpose that God is trying to fulfill is in that tribulation.
That's right.
It's in there.
See, a lot of people want to look to the sacrifice without themselves becoming a sacrifice.
That's it. That's good.
See, God was the opportunity for us, but when we become the opportunity for someone else.
That's it.
You know, that's truly what God, I feel like he really wants to get us to that point where we Well, we want to be that sacrifice.
That's right. That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we look to be an opportunity.
That's right.
For someone
that's
else. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And he have us all in position, man. You know, I see the same thing from Daniel and where the king stands, that he has us all in position. Mm. And really, he's setting this whole thing up. He's preparing this whole thing up, you know. Because, at the, you know, especially by reading and understanding it, you know, especially it wasn't even about Daniel, but it's about the king, the outcome that is going to come out of it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
From you being in this king, I mean, I'm sorry, about you being in this den of lions and the outcome that I will show God to the king, you know, that I am here, that I am what Daniel said that I am. You feel what I'm saying? I see the whole outcome of things. So I believe God has us in position to be able to show the outcome of things.
That's right. That's right.
That's powerful.
You know what's so powerful about that is while we're talking about it, while we're into it, that's so powerful. Because while Julie was talking, I thought about this thing. See, Daniel actually becomes the seed. And the den becomes the ground.
I was thinking about that too. That's what I was thinking about too, man.
You understand what I'm saying? That's the power. Something's got to go into the ground.
That's
something's got to go into the darkness.
That's what I was thinking about too.
Seed.
That's right. My God. Something's got to be buried.
Yeah. That's what I was.
In that dirt. What's buried deep in you?
Yeah.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Because in order to produce anything that would affect the outside, something's got to go in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Something's got to grow out. Come on here.
That's powerful.
That king comes and open that seals up and open that thing up. That's growth there. That's growth there.
That's powerful.
That's
wild.
So Carlos, do you believe that the sacrifice not only benefits the king, it also benefits Daniel as well?
That's
well,
right. It's that, working on every end.
It's like you're killing two birds with one stone.
That's God.
That's how I look at it, you know.
That's God.
That's powerful.
So therefore, not only are you going to be a benefit to someone else, you're going to be a benefit to yourself. Because
right.
through that trial, he's also perfecting you.
That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
Because I look at it, you know, comparing to what Daniel had been through. And God setting this whole thing up as we as believers, as we are positioned and say that I am going through things, bad situations, trials and tribulations. But it's the outcome. It's the, you know, God sees the final result. Mm-hmm. But I look at it's how I get through that. You feel what I'm saying? It's how I get through that. You know, and by trusting God, knowing God. You know what I'm saying? Resting in God. The outcome is from the other, you know, I don't look at it just of me coming out of this storm. I see the effect on people who are watching me. You feel what I'm saying?
That's right.
And those are the outcomes that God is have to be able to believe. Okay, look at JR. You know, he came out of that. You know, that's powerful.
And to take that, man, it's so powerful. Like we said before, you know, Right after the test, there's the testimony. And the thing is, many times, even if you look at this in a classroom perspective, what happens before the test is the teacher prepares you for that test. But the thing is, when the test presents itself, many times what happens is the teacher is quiet. The teacher doesn't say anything during the test then. Because then what you have to do is rely on what you've been taught.
Yeah,
you have to rely on your beliefs.
That's right.
Therefore, your beliefs just... should influence the way you think.
That's right.
So that's why David was able to rest in the midst of this test, is because he didn't rely on his carnal mind, but he relied on what he had been taught by God.
That's right. That's
you know what I'm
that's
saying?
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
And that's powerful because when we think about it, the greatest minerals on earth are made by the pressures. I mean, a diamond is only as good as the pressure it was under. And that's what makes it the hardest stone. It becomes hard enough to be able to cut the glass, to be able to cut the image in which we see every day. See, the thing about it is, the reason why that diamond becomes so great is because it sits under a number of different years under the pressure under the earth. And when you go down in the diamond mine and begin to dig it out, that's the thing about it is, how much pressure has it been under? And the pressure determines the price. Are you understand what I'm saying? And the reason why we held it at such a great price is because it's so hard, it's set up under the pressure the longest.
That's it.
Hmm. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? It sat in the darkness the longest. Mm. That's why some of the people who come out of the greatest darkness become having some of the greatest ministry because they what? The thing about it is they sat under the pressure of darkness the longest. Mm. God had them hid longer. Are you understand what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah. Mm. And they were going through without anyone there knowing they were there until somebody went in deep enough. To be able to pull that diamond out of the treasure and say, look what I found for the world.
That's powerful. Because when you started talking about you started talking about that diamond, man, and being hid and being, you know, under all of that, you know, being in the ground and the pressure of it, man, it's like,
uh-oh. Come on here.
That's powerful. Oh, man. It's like the diamond itself has to prepare itself to what it's going to become. You feel what I'm saying? Right. Through the whole pressure of it by being hidden in darkness. You know, and then comparing it to ourselves. We have to be, you know, God hides us for a while. God keeps us in the dark. You know. Then when he shows himself, you know. But through that darkness, come prepared. I am preparing you.
That's right.
You know, for what it's, that we, you know, that's powerful.
And that's so powerful.
And that's what makes the blood of Jesus so precious. The blood of Jesus is so precious at a great price is because of the pressure it was put on. So we don't look at the pressure of the pressure determined the price of the blood. Blood could save all of humanity because it was pressure. God suffering as a human. So therefore the pressure was greater because he had come into an environment. You understand what I'm saying? He come into an environment. He lessened who he was so he could expand the price of who we were. And therefore the thing about it is the pressure that he went under because of the crucifixion of it tearing him apart and ripping him apart by him being the unique Son of God. That's what I mean by him saying the only begotten Son of God. He is the unique, in other translations, he is the unique Son of God. It. And the unique Son of God went under a unique pressure that determined the price of his blood. That his blood, the life of this blood, of this unique Son, is so precious that it could save any man at any moment. Come on here. He found himself in. So the pressure determined the price. It determined how much this diamond is worth. You understand what I'm saying here? Because you want something that's real. And if you want something that's real, come on here, then it has a medium of exchange that's worth anything else that could be found anywhere else. You understand what I'm saying? What's that that's fake diamond called? What's that fake diamond called?
Diamond circumference.
That's right. So you think about this. It's one thing for you to go around with something shiny that looks like something else.
Come on now.
But if it's put under the same pressure, we'll find out that it's not the same.
That's it.
So what Job looked like on the outside, the thing about it is what looked like a diamond was only in what?
Diamond zirconia.
That's right. It was only cubic zirconia. It wasn't anything that was actually real. Come on.
It was genuine. One thing about,
you ever ran into these guys on the street? They got this gold. Yeah.
They got some things.
Something that's what?
Genuine.
That's real. Something that's genuine. Something of substance. That's what leaves a void, and these most humans form and void is because they want something real. We go from relationship to relationship because we want something real.
We want
something that can go through the pressure. We want something that can have the test of time. Are you understand what I'm saying here? And everything that we have in life, material, come on here, cannot go through the test of time, cannot last. The only thing that's real good is not happiness, but joy. Are you understand what I'm saying here? Not nothing that lasts for the moment. Are you understand what I'm saying here? It's one thing to have a nice car. It's another thing to have a nice ride.
Come on now.
What do you mean? Come on. Are you understand what I'm saying? What do you mean by there's a difference between a nice car and a nice ride? You can have a very nice car. It's all tricked out and everything
else. Come on.
But the thing about it is you can be sitting in the car and not have a nice ride. Not be enjoying yourself while you're going from A to B.
Oh, okay, yeah.
your car can be tricked out, but your mind is not. Your mind is tricked out. Are you understand what I'm saying?
That's wild.
You can have a house, but not have a good home. Mm. It's not a place in which you can really embrace.
Yes.
So therefore, it's a nice, expensive couch. Come on here. But you're up all night tossing and turning.
So you ain't really.
Looks nice.
That's right. Because the animal of the human spirit is to look for substance, something that's real, something that has a real cost to it. What has real value? Mm-hmm. When your life has real value. Come on.
That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Come on here. That's why you can find some people that have nothing at all, but enjoying themselves more than people who have it all.
Mm.
Because they don't have it all.
That's right.
Really?
You can get two people sitting on a block with some weed and a 40-ounce. They can have more joy than somebody sitting in the back of a church.
Ooh.
Come on, Will. Or sitting in the bullpen. How in the world can that be? They can share more together than people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They have a joy in that moment that is more. Come on here. I know I'm touching some areas here. Got to be very delicate when I go here. The thing about it is, the parallel, they come more. That's why the Bible says children of the world are wiser than the children of light. Mm-hmm. They parallel more in that moment, the kingdom of God, than people in a church could at any time and don't share with one another.
Mm. That's powerful.
They can share that weed in the 40 out and have a good time sitting on that block. Not thinking about who had the money.
That's it.
Come on, I don't want to act like y'all crazy. You've seen it. They enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I've seen it.
They take that bottle of wine and pass it.
Sharing it.
They can say, you know what? I ain't got no money. Don't worry about no money. Come on with me. We're going to the store. We're going to get lit up tonight. And you get two people going to church and can't even ride together.
That's right.
They don't even have a good time because they're already judging one another.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? They parallel closer to the kingdom of God than people in the church could ever be. Come on, here. Because the thing about it is, they have never really perceived God.
Mm.
They perceive religion. Religion is everything that man says, that they think man, that God says to man.
Mm.
That's what religion is. Mm. But they don't really have a perception of what God is saying.
Mm.
So we search for substance.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's so powerful,
that's so
man.
Powerful, man.
You know, and that's why I feel like, man, like you said, you know, the diamonds that are more valuable and more precious are the ones that go under the most precious. They're the ones that are the deepest under the ground. The thing is, to me, that's so symbolic to our greatest treasures being the ones that are deep inside of us. You know, the ones that are uncovered, you know, the things that we have not yet discovered could be the greatest attributes of ourselves that we need to continue to search for. You know what I'm saying? And that's just so powerful, man, because so many people are looking for, like you said before, external things to bring them that joy, that peace, things like that. But those things are already in you.
That's powerful.
The thing is, if you don't discover those things, if you don't realize that those things are a part of you,
that's right. You'll continue
searching. You know, you're going to continue to search. You know, you continue to search, you know, search the earth when everything you needed was already in you.
That's something to think about.
That's a crazy concept, is that everything we have is within.
It's right within.
Everything we need.
Everything. You know what I'm saying?
And Linko definitely tweet that way you said, man. Definitely talking about the pressure of that diamond, man. And did also a little bit of research, man, on gold and how they definitely make gold and compared into the scripture, especially when you was reading about Job. And what I definitely see what God is doing and where he's trying to take Job. Job started at a block of Job in the beginning, where God sees Job's is a block of gold. It's purity in that gold.
That's right.
But it's a block of gold that hasn't yet been molded. Mm-hmm. Hasn't yet been had a structure around it to be able to become something. It's just a purity of gold.
That's right.
But before it becomes something that you can wear, put on, put up, it has to be under pressure.
That's right. That's right.
And reading about gold, they put under 1,500 to 4,000 the heat to be able to mold gold, the necklace and bracelet.
That's
It never loses no value in the purity of that gold. It just melts it down so it can mold.
That's right.
So I really ask yourself, when God is putting that pressure on us, and sometimes we feel like we can't handle the pressure, we feel like sometimes it's too much, God. You feel what I'm saying? I'm going through too much. He's trying to actually turn this piece of block, turn this gold that I see through you into something, to take it to another level. And that's powerful. And
to me, that's powerful. Point. That's the point where we have to be mindful of the substance that we are.
That's right.
To me, during the test, you truly find out your substance. You truly find out where you are and
where
you are.
That's it. That's
you know what I'm saying? Because it's either two things that can happen under pressure. either you can break.
That's it.
Come on, be me.
That's it.
That's right.
You know? Diamonds are made under pressure. Packs break under pressure.
That's right.
Either you're going to be broken or you're going to be made.
One or the other.
That's right.
That's right. You are. That's powerful.
Before we get out of here, let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 4.
2 Corinthians.
I think we had a little light in here today.
Ooh. Yes, sir.
Second Corinthians 2 and 6. 4 and 6. Okay. Somebody read that. Go with that, Junior. Go with that room
with
that.
4 and 6.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Slow.
Let me take this gum out, man. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
What a powerful verse.
Verse 7.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Verse 8, go ahead.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our body. That's powerful.
Well, we can go some.
That's a whole other class.
Ooh.
I really want to
talk. I don't even got enough tape neither.
For God who commanded light
to
shine out of darkness. Ain't that powerful? When we come back next week, we're going to pick up here. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness.
Okay, we're going to pick up there.
We're going to pick up there when we come back next week. When we're going to pick up where this light is. God said, let there be light. We're going to pick it up in the New Testament. And we're going to pick it up in 1 John. This who this light was. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. I really want you to see that that's a commandment of God. God will always command light to shine out of darkness. He will always work from a dark place and move
that's
forward.
That's powerful.
This ain't going
to make. Did you go over again what you said we was going to go
He said 1 John.
Yeah,
we're going
to touch this 2 Corinthians.
1 John.
We're going to look at John chapter 1. We're going to look at who this light was.
John chapter 1?
John chapter 1.
Okay, not 1 John chapter 1.
Not 1 John chapter 1, but St. John.
Okay.
And we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at this right here. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, have shine into our hearts. That's why I'm telling you that light, that earth without form and void, was more your heart. Come on here, in your mind. More than God trying to tell a story about how he created the world.
That's powerful.
Your heart didn't have a form to it. Your heart was ruined. And God commanded his light to shine, come on here, out of that darkness. Come on here. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. And I like that 7th verse. But we have this treasure in earth and dust, that the ecstasy of the power might be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Think about Job and Daniel, we read tonight. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Come on, people. See, he was troubled on every side. There was lions all around
him. That's it.
Job had everything taken from around him, but not in distress. He was perplexed. Come on here, but not in despair. Persecuted, but he won't forsake him. Remember, the angels was there with him, locked up with him. he was cast down. Remember, the kingdom brought him up. He was down. Sure. But he was not what? Destroyed. Sure. Come on, y'all. He wasn't taken apart. He didn't fall apart, I think. Mm. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Mm. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body
a living sacrifice, holy,
holy, and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed
by you dying to you. You manifest Christ. I decrease, he increase. The more you stop being selfish and think everything that you do in your life centers around you, you manifest Christ. See, and can I go a little deeper with that before we leave? What do you mean by diving into that selfish? Anytime you do anything for selfishness, God, what do you mean by that? Let's go a little deeper with that. Let's touch on that. What I mean by that is, you could be doing something spiritual and still be selfish. You could be doing something that you think God wants you to do, and it's only because you're thinking about you. You're only, and it may be a lot of spiritual things. So you got a lot of people doing a lot of things, but it's still centered around them.
Right.
How is it going to benefit from me? And it's not a true dying. It's only self-gratification. Now I'm going to go here. We'll touch this next week. I'm going to be talking about the goal. I really want to touch this. To the realm of the church, there might be somebody listening that's in the church. The streets that are paved with gold are something that they think we're going to enjoy. When the real manifestation of the Spirit is, you become the gold streets that others walk on.
Jesus. Lord have mercy.
It may be you laying down your life to help pave the way for someone else. That becomes so transparent that leads to them to a greater way of life. Not so much the other way around of God giving you something that you can walk on. You become something that others can walk on so that they might. That's the real life.
That's how
other city.
That's the true legacy of his ministry.
See, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you know how he did that? Lay down so you can walk in. Come on.
And that is
that's the powerful thing. See, in order to become the way, you got to lay down. If you want to show somebody the way, then you got to get out of here.
Let's go. We are